The Prayer is a very, very popular song for duos to sing. I reckon the best version is that of Josh Groban and Celine Dion. I do also like the Andrea Bocelli version, but I've opted today to play that version by Josh Groban, Celine Dion. Its lines are really wonderful. Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace, to a place where we'll be safe. A wonderful prayer of hope, especially at this time. So in perfect harmony there, Josh Groban, he's Jewish. Celine Dion, she's a Roman Catholic. That leads us into Rita's piece on Passover, which begins on Friday night. Good Friday is also this coming Friday, and Easter Day is on Sunday. There are other dates, there are other celebrations, other festivals, mostly related to the spring in the Northern Hemisphere. Melbourne's enjoying autumn, but we still mark these important festivals. Rita Erdick considers their origins and their foods.
Passover begins on Friday evening. Friday is Good Friday too, and those of a religious mind will be aware that the Last Supper was set around the Passover feast. A reminder of the length of time that Passover, which commemorates the exodus of the ancient Hebrews from Egypt, has been celebrated. In fact, it's been celebrated for a lot longer than that. Greek Easter is in another week, and Ramadan has already commenced. The different dates seem confusing, but only if you expect everything to fit into our current Gregorian calendar. The date for Easter was set in 325 by a religious council that placed Easter as the first Sunday after the full moon following the vernal, that is, the spring equinox, and it has to be a Sunday following Passover. The Orthodox calendar uses much the same formula but relies on the Julian calendar. Ramadan has its own date, starting at the end of the month of Shaban with the sighting of the new moon. In the Hebrew calendar, the date is fixed. Passover starts on the evening of the 15th day of the month of Nisan. And in case you didn't know, the Hebrew calendar is a lunar one, and there's a cycle of leap months, rather than a single day every 4 years, so that there's an extra month from time to time, which is why there can be up to a month between Passover and Easter. Here in Melbourne, it's autumn, chilly in the evenings and the leaves turning yellow and brown. Red leaves will come a bit later, with colder evenings and weather. In the Northern Hemisphere, where all the festivals originated, it's spring. Spring has its own meanings. It's a time of renewal, of growth, and of fertility. All those eggs. Easter gets its name from an early Germanic goddess about whom surprisingly little is known. We know about her because there used to be a month called Jostramanuth, or Easter month. She remains in the picture because when the early Roman church came to England to convert everyone, they were more or less under instruction to repurpose any existing festivals and gods. So Jostra, whose name has various forms, who was a goddess of dawn, of renewal, of spring, or fertility, take your pick, but you get the idea, she was a pretty good fit. One of her symbols was the hare, which translates into a rabbit. And so we have the Easter Bunny, who appears in modern times to lay chocolate eggs in a mammoth confusion of species and biology. But this is no time to be picky about facts. What strikes me every year is how we mark festivals with food. For many Christians, Easter's a time of feasting after privations of Lent. But for Jews and Muslims, the season is striking for what is not eaten. No food between dawn and dusk for Muslims for the month of Ramadan. For Jews, there's no bread for 8 days. Not only no bread, but nothing leavened, and not even anything that behaves as if it might be leavened. And most households are in a flurry of cleaning out cupboards and drawers to ensure there are no crumbs anywhere in the house. The very observant keep a set of crockery and cutlery that's used only for Passover. Passover, or Pesach in Hebrew, has quite a lot of ritual foods associated with the Seder, the meal and gathering at which the Haggadah is read. That's an ancient text, largely unchanged over the centuries and even millennia, and its purpose is to remind everyone, year after year, that we were once slaves and rescued by the Almighty in order to be a free nation with the governing laws of the Torah, received on Mount Sinai in the 40-year journey from Egypt to the land of Israel. The ritual foods include a hard-boiled egg, that universal life cycle symbol, with salt water, supposedly representing the tears of slavery. There are bitter herbs and a paste of dried fruit and nuts that most deliciously represent the mortar used in the building of the pyramids. The historical veracity of all of this is sometimes questioned. What's not questioned is the enduring celebration of the festival. Where there are festivals, there will be feasts. And where there are feasts, there will be cake. Easter is marked by hot cross buns. Their origins may well predate Christianity, and it's thought that they were a pagan cake marked into four to denote the seasons. Maybe. They were surrounded by superstition for centuries and were at one time, by Queen Elizabeth, I think, limited to be produced only for Easter, Friday, Christmas and burials. Very special occasions, perhaps. But as if that was going to put an end to superstition. There's another traditional English Easter cake that is less often made and eaten. The simnel cake has a marzipan layer in the middle and is decorated with 11 marzipan balls, representing the 11 faithful apostles. There's another confusion here, which is that the simnel cake was traditional for Mothering Sunday, which was one of the feast days during Lent. There are Orthodox cakes, a lovely plaited loaf decorated with painted eggs. That's the best known one. Greek Easter is also marked by a special soup and roasted lamb, the Paschal lamb. Passover has its own cake traditions. As I say, where there are gatherings, there will be cake. The difficulty of excluding flour from cake making hasn't stopped anyone. In fact, it's given rise to a whole new genre of cake making, flourless. There's the orange cake that Claudia Roden made famous in her book of Middle Eastern food. There's a potato cake that tastes like a cheesecake. There are nut sponges. There are chocolate nut sponges. There are flourless chocolate cakes. What they all have in common are eggs, lots of them, and nuts, usually ground almonds. I did some research into Passover cakes and found that 6 eggs was the minimum number for any Passover cake worth its eating.
Rita Ehrlich putting some context into our various religious festivals and feasts at this time of year.